here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here on the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being. We have with us on the line Patrick Murphy, who's one of our supporters and a good friend, and he's written a fascinating book called How the West Was Lost, or Coping with Life in a Strange New Civilization. And we are living in a different world. This is not the world that existed here in the United States 50 years ago or 40 years ago or even 30 years ago. America has changed, and it has not changed simply by accident. It is part of a long-range plan to destroy what was once a great Christian nation and replace it with, well, basically with a pagan nation, and we're going to have to be prepared to live in this this terrible new society that's evolving. Patrick, thank you so very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Well, why don't you sort of go ahead and give the sort of the basic theme? You know, you point out so well that there are two philosophies in America. We have philosophies in conflict, and the Christian philosophy seems to be losing.
Yeah. You know, when we talk about the great Christian nation of America, we should also include what Europe was more than 100 years ago, because we were essentially a European civilization. The West was born there. I think America was the culmination of Western civilization. It was the finest example. It was its gem, its capstone, its peak. You know, in the book, sort of halfway through, I say I could read a couple sentences to sort of summarize sort of what you just said. The West's success at matching up human society's laws with the moral requirements of God was obviously not perfect, but at least we knew what we were driving at. The God of the Bible was never out of sight, even when political men were doing their best to get around him. Now, he's disregarded entirely. I mean, it would have been incomprehensible. My contention is that it would have been incomprehensible to disregard God at any time in America's past or even Europe's past. Even the tyrants running the show in various societies in Europe and even America, if a tyrant ever emerged, the vast majority of the population understood the Christian element of moral thought. But that's gone. Something has changed. So now we have to really totally flat out convert the average person to the Christian worldview, because they're growing up with a worldview alien to what we used to be.
And of course that was a part and parcel of the fact that they packed the Supreme Court with Masons back in 1941, and of course it got worse right up until 1971. They controlled the Supreme Court. People with a different allegiance who'd sworn an oath to have the light come in, and the light of course is the light of Lucifer, men who had a totally different allegiance, a totally different vision of America. And the average American has never been allowed to know that. Their leaders aren't going to tell them. Their ministers aren't going to tell them. Their teachers aren't going to tell them. And yet, of course, this is the truth. There was an organized effort to destroy the Christian foundation of this country to the point where today, why, no politician dares to get up and suggest that we're a Christian nation. Why, he would be attacked by the media. He would be attacked by his constituents. He would be attacked by his party, whether it be Democrat or Republican. Why, we must never mention that our heritage is Christian, because you see that, of course, is simply in the distant past, sort of a remembrance of things past. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Patrick Murphy, and we're going to be talking about a book he's written, which we incidentally will be carrying, called How the West Was Lost, or Coping with Life in a Strange New Civilization. And Patrick, the listeners just have joined us, and the older people who were listening before will be back in about 2.5 minutes. So go ahead and repeat what you were saying a few minutes ago about how America has changed. America, of course, at one time was sort of the gem of Western civilization, and Western civilization was built upon Christianity.
That's correct. And you know, I read a sentence out of my book, and I'll reread it. The God of the Bible was never out of sight, even when political men were doing their best to get around him. Now he's disregarded entirely. What I said was that we never could have comprehended in the past. We could not imagine a world where God is disregarded. Now, most people find it hard to be convinced that God has to be paid attention to, that he has any say in the game, that he's got a dog in the fight. I mean, this is, or in the hunt, whatever it is. But no, what I'm saying is, something strange has happened to us, where now those people who believe in the Western ideals and the Christian civilization have to defend the idea that we used to be Christian. Now, why is it, I ask in this book, why is it that we have to defend this idea? Why can't people believe it easily? Why isn't it known? Nope. Well, something dramatically different has occurred.
All right, what is different? What has occurred? Why have we forgotten the roots of our heritage? Which 50 years ago, everybody in this country, everybody in the world knew we were a Christian nation. If you look at America today, why people say, certainly we don't act like a Christian nation. We've lost any moral authority that we had, immediately after 9/11. And so what happened to America? Where did we go off?
Well, this is a terrible, terrible, painful reality that you are so good at reminding us of all in all your efforts in your ministry. But I don't really actually explain that in the book. I mean, I do agree with you that it's all a spiritual battle. And I do say in the book that this whole plan of Satan is to recreate the world as it was before the flood, when he was totally in control. And I also say that this modern civilization that has emerged, I call it the new civ, it's a new civilization. It is to recreate, in the early stages at least, the decadence of Rome in its late phase. That's the whole sexual...
Hold that thought right there. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Patrick Murphy. His book is How the West Was Lost, a fascinating look at what's going on today. And, of course, he goes into the background. What is culture? What is civilization? These things that we usually don't think about, and yet it is the very essence of who we are as a people, or at least who we were as a people. And, there is a culture in the Muslim world. There is a culture in Japan, a separate culture from any other culture in the world. There's a separate culture in China and in India. And there's only about 7 cultures. And of course, Patrick talks about Samuel Huntington's wonderful book, The Class of Civilizations. So why don't you sort of pick up sort of develop these ideas of, what America was and then what we've become.
All right. We could talk about that. I started the book by establishing what is a civilization and what is Western civilization, and Huntington's book is seminal. It's not easy to read. This guy's a real scholarly guy. Hopefully my book is easier to read than his. But it's important to read it because he shows how civilizations essentially have to clash, and the reason they have to clash because they have different sort of internal logic. The things that make up reality, the way you interpret reality, is different from civilization to civilization. And as Dr. Stan just mentioned, there aren't that many, and not that many ever existed in time. I mean, if you went back to ancient Egypt, your mind would be, the backdrop of your thoughts, your assumptions about reality would be completely different than if you were to, say, be able to go back in time to the Aztec civilization. They're completely alien approaches to thinking. Well, it's sort of politically incorrect today to say that there are various ways of internal logic, but anybody who actually examines Islam will find that they think different than we do. I mean, if you're genuinely from the Islamic civilization, there isn't really a lot of overlap. We just don't have that much in common in terms of what we think about reality. Okay, so that's civilizations. Now, below that, within a civilization, we have different societies and different cultures. Like, the French have different culture than the Germans, but they're all Western civilization, or at least they used to be. My premise is that the West is gone. But you know, when we think about what it means to be French or Spanish, we all share something in common. What is that we share in common? We share Christianity. We all came out of the Roman Empire, but a Christianized Roman Empire, where the gospel was essential to how we perceived morality, law, and logic, and science. All of this came out of Christianity. Christianity invaded Roman civilization. That's what happened. And the logical outworking of that ended up with America. America was the fulfillment of this promise of, if you take the glory of Rome, you know, as they call it, and you add the glory of God, what do you get? You get something different than anything that ever happened in history. And when you bring it to a new continent with the intention of creating the new Israel to fulfill the promises of the gospel, that's what you get. You get America, and it was a great place. Well, sometime along the way, the devil, of course, as he always will, he will sow tares amidst the wheat. And he did that from the very beginning. In the book, I don't go into the spiritual element so much because I'm trying to keep a sort of a tight focus. But whether you look at it politically or spiritually, the devil sowed weeds amongst the wheat. And they grew up together throughout American history. But sometime around the beginning of the 1900s, the weeds started to crowd out the wheat. And the bad guys gained power. And we know how they did it. They did it in numerous ways. They did it in the banking world, and they did it in the academy, in the higher education. And then they started doing it in the lower education, in the grammar schools. And systematically, through the courts, they squelched God from all of our political discourse. I feel like I've talked too long, Doctor.
No, you're doing fine. You just keep right on going. I think what you've said is so really true. And people have really forgotten what America was, the America I grew up in, the America that I still believe in. And the reason we lost it is because there really were dark citizens, spiritual forces here. There have always been two forces in America. One was the Christian that was dominant for many years, for almost a century, almost two centuries. But, of course, the dark forces had come here about 1640, 1650, with the intention of taking America over. And, of course, using this to bring about the one world government, the new world religion. And you talk a little bit in your book about the emblem on the back of the dollar bill. What does that signify, and why is that so important?
Well, you know, what's interesting is, you know, I know that you have referenced in your work how Francis Bacon was able to impose or you know, sort of inject that Illuminatist vision even early in the 1600s, but I think that the Puritan experiment and the great backdrop of Christianity of most of the people that arrived here, it took a long time for that seed to germinate, that Illuminist Mason Masonic seed to germinate. But by the time of our Revolution, we had the Enlightenment in Europe was really infecting the minds of people like Thomas Jefferson. Now, I'm a big fan of Jefferson as opposed to Hamilton, I go into some detail in the book about they represent two different worldviews, which are vaguely reminiscent of the two political visions we have today, the Democrats and Republicans. But Jefferson was really intrigued by the Enlightenment, And this Enlightenment vision, why do they call it the Enlightenment? How could this be light shining on Europe when it was a paganizing influence? I think this is propaganda, and I say so in the book. There is no such thing as shedding light on an already enlightened society. If it's fully Christian, even if flawed, you know, how can you call it the Enlightenment? But the propagandists won, and we call it the Enlightenment, and they think of the great, glorious, ancient European days as being the Dark Ages. Why is it dark? Because the light started to shine. Well, this was an illuminist light. This was a Luciferian light. Now, when American civilization transformed from the colonial period to the you know, what we think of as our national period after the revolution, this illuminist vision was really, I think it was a takeover. I think that they, even though it was fine because there was a critical mass of Christian thinking in the country, I think that there was a threshold that was reached which created, you know, it was like a momentum of this darkness. And so, the dollar bill, these symbols, that seal, the Great Seal of the United States, was given. There's mystery as to how it came about, but it's deeply dark and very unpleasant. And it was sort of forgotten for a long time until, you know, the socialist in chief of the 1930s came into power and they put it on the dollar bill. But all along, this was our great seal, this illuminist emblem. You know, the words on the thing, he blesses our beginnings. Well, who blesses our beginnings? You know, this thing is so problematic and troublesome. So, as I say, it's like the wheat and the tares growing up together. And as I explain in the book, there were two forces. There was the Jeffersonian vision of the independent yeoman farmer, and that carried through all the way to the Civil War. And then there was the vision of the corporatist, you know, financial, you know, powerhouse type thinking that Alexander Hamilton represented. Well, they were in tension throughout the 1900s, and it drove the Northeast power people crazy, the Illuminist type individuals. It drove them crazy. And eventually it ended at the Civil War. And see, what was happening was the tension, every time they would try to do internal improvements, which is basically socialism, fascism, it's creating internal infrastructure for businesses to, you know, flourish. Well, that's what today that's normative, and we think of that as, you know, the government builds roads. Yeah, of course they do. But in those days, the South kept saying, no, 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 we're not going to do that. Well, the Civil War came and ended this tension. And what I say in the book, I hope this hasn't been too confusing, I haven't gone over it too fast, but I said that there was a tension between the two. The two visions of what America should be were always checking each other. And so America essentially stayed the same during the 1900s. I mean, I'm sorry, the 1800s, the 19th century. And when the Civil War came, that check ended, and the floodgates were opened, and the Illuminist vision of corporatist, consolidationist, socialist, you know, it's not a coincidence, I think, in the spirit realm that Darwin and Marx came about at the same time.
And I think it's so important that people understand that the reason for the Civil War had nothing to do with slavery. The communists were here. I actually attended a meeting here in Santa Cruz where Herbert Aptheker, the head of the Communist Party, chief theoretician, was speaking, and he talked about how during the Civil War the communists were here in the United States working and pushing this whole Civil War. They didn't want a solution to the problem. They wanted the problem, and the ultimate end was to be ever more power, centralized power. That's what it's all about. Because communism, a sincere, benevolent, idealistic theory, but it doesn't work. Somebody's got to be in charge. And the whole idea was under America we had liberty and individual freedom under God. What they wanted was a centralized power with authority held by man. and the end of freedom as we know it.
Have you ever wondered about the boys we left behind in Vietnam and Korea? Did you ever know that we left 25,000 American boys behind in Russia, in Siberia, at the end of the Second World War? Have you ever wondered what really happened at Oklahoma City, what really happened with the TWA 800 that went down off the eastern coast about a year ago? Well, ladies and gentlemen, all of the subjects are well covered in a fascinating book by Craig Roberts entitled The Medusa File. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, order The Medusa File. Actually, Craig Roberts was a police officer working on the Oklahoma City bombing. Now, this book has been suppressed very effectively across America, and it's self-published, but I promise you that there's no other book I know that'll give you more contemporary history, frightening history that every American needs to know. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR now.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. A secret of healthy aging was recently found among people who have lived unusually long, healthy lives. The longest-lived woman, Jean Calment of France, who lived 122 years, and man, Antonio Todd of the Italian Isle of Sardinia, who lived 115 years, as well as the Queen Mother of England, who lived 100 years, outliving one of her daughters by 3 decades, was their daily consumption of red wine. But health authorities have been reticent to recommend an alcoholic beverage to the public at large until now. Longevinex is the world's first stabilized French red wine extract in a pill, without the calories and without the alcohol or sulfite preservatives. One Longevinex capsule provides the red wine molecules found in 5 glasses of the best red wine. Call 866-405-4000 to order Longevinex. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Thierry.
Have you purchased?
Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763. 9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Have you purchased or invested in gold and silver coins or bullion in the last several years? If so, you've most likely been taken advantage of. In a lot of cases, out and out lied to. There are several tricks of the trade in play in the precious metals and collector coin markets. This is especially true during a hot market. Although it doesn't take a savvy investor to avoid the pitfalls of unscrupulous coin and metals dealers, it does take some common sense and the knowledge of which questions to ask. The asset management professionals at Colonial Resources can arm you with a few simple questions to ask your current broker or coin dealer. To find out if you've been taken advantage of, or if you're thinking of investing, call Colonial Resources toll-free, 1-800-685-4042. The precious metals and collector coin markets are hot and definitely where the smart money is heading. But before you make a mistake that could cost you hundreds or even thousands of dollars, call the professionals at Colonial Resources. The call and the advice are free. 1-800-685-4042. That's 800-685-4042.
Well, this is Arthur Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Patrick Murphy. Our telephone number, if you'd like to give us a call, is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. That's 1-888-464-8295. And, of course, here in the Central Coast of 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. It is so important to understand that there is an organized effort to destroy the Christian foundation of America, to do away with this idea of freedom under God, to centralize all power with government so you can be regulated and watched and controlled from the cradle to the grave. And that's what the Patriot Act is all about. It is simply using the threat of terrorism to justify putting dossiers together on every American, to come up with new systems about which you'll either buy or sell. Right now they're talking about using your fingerprint or your iris scan, or, well, of course, they can come up with a wonderful new idea. It's a card, a credit card, but you don't have to swipe it. You can just sort of wave it across, the reader, and then pretty soon maybe you won't even need to have a card. You can just wave your hand across it. You'll have it shipped there. Why do you think that they're putting all of the information about the danger of identity theft? And you hear about it every day. Oh, identity theft. Somebody just lost, you know, some major corporation just lost all the information on your identity. How could that possibly happen? Why didn't it happen a year ago or 5 years ago? Why is it all happening now? It's all, of course, for your mind, it's your perception. We've got to come up with another solution. Gee, if everybody just had a chip in, wouldn't that solve it? And, of course, it's this whole idea of government will control everything. Do you see that coming down the line, Patrick?
Yes, absolutely. Some listeners might remember I've been on the show before talking about the research for this book. I was just talking about Orwell because I perceived that Orwell was amazingly prescient. I mean, this is almost a cliche to say that Orwell foresaw the future, but he sure did. You know, Dr. Stan, I visit Chicago a lot. That's my hometown. And the other a few months ago, I drove there and I went on the tollway because that's the shortest way. And they doubled the toll. So I asked my brother. I said, it was 40 cents, and for me, it takes four tolls. So 40 cents times four. Okay, I can live with that. But they doubled to 80 cents. Now a doubling. That's a lot, right? I asked my brother, I said, why did they do that? He said, oh, everybody's going to iPass, which is, I guess it's a chip in your car, and you drive through the fast lane, and it automatically records your presence and bills your account. And so they doubled the fare for the normal people so that no one would want to not have this chip. Now, I think that this is a good example of how they're going to do it across the board. They're going to appeal to our selfish interest. We're not going to want to resist. It's so harmless in the beginning, you know. It's so easy to accept their explanation as to why this is good for us. Well, this is like a trap. It's like a spider web, and we don't realize that we're totally snared. I mean, I know on the spiritual level that this is totally diabolical, and it's possible that the politicians in Illinois are not aware of this, you know, the spiritual element. It's hard to know how deep in the concentric circles of diabolical reality they are. I mean, who could tell? The point, though, is that this is where it's going, and Orwell foresaw it early in the century. And I absolutely agree with you, Dr. Stan. I see no way around what's going to happen, which is we're going to all have chips embedded in our hands or foreheads, just like the Bible tells us. And I hate to believe it, but it's true.
And of course, there's a plan, and it's simply perhaps not even a plan of men, a plan of these demonic beings that work within the other dimension, and of course are doing exactly what they want, what they're told to do, and that is to bring everybody under control. We will have dossiers on everybody. We will have videos on every street corner. We will have wardens on every block reporting on what you're doing, of course, in the name of trying to stop the terrorist attacks on America. They're really so diabolically clever, and yet the average American sort of drifts through life thinking, oh, well, it's always going to get better, it's a temporary thing, and after all, don't we have to fight the wicked Osama bin Laden? Because after all, Osama bin Laden might very well attack us. And if you read 1984, I think there was a fellow there named Goldberg. He was the Osama bin Laden of 1984. He was the man, they put his picture up on the screen, everybody booed. Because, of course, he was the opponent of Big Brother. And, of course, Big Brother is there to look after us. We're going to be back here in just a moment. And, of course, we'll welcome your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. The book, How the West Was Lost, a fascinating read.
The Anglo-American establishment gives you the documentation for Professor Quigley's allegation that there was a secret society created in England that ultimately came to dominate England and ultimately came to dominate the United States of America. The Anglo-American establishment will give you the books that you can read, written by men who were actually involved in the original secret society. Professor Quigley opens his book saying that most people have heard of the Rhodes Scholarships, and most people, a few people, have actually heard that Cecil Rhodes wrote a confession of faith, which was attached to his first five wills, talking about the formation of a secret society. But what almost no one in America realizes today is that that secret society was actually formed and still exists to this very day. The Anglo-American Establishment by Professor Quigley, Bill Clinton's mentor, is one of the most important books you'll ever read, and available by calling 1-800-5-HIV-WAR.
Leading-edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high-quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done, get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today, 800-544-8927, 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap, it's a miracle.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest today is Patrick Murphy. We're talking about his book, How the West Was Lost, or Coping with Life in a Strange New Civilization. And we do live in a new civilization. We live in a new world where Christianity is simply under attack today. Program this morning with Colonel Ron Ray, talking about how at the Air Force Academy, when the leading cadet there, who was of course graduating at the top of his class, dared to send out an email talking about the importance of the day of prayer and simply quoting one or two scriptures from the Bible, called in and condemned for daring to send that at the Air Force Academy. You know, you take God out of the military. What are people going to be fighting for? For money? Are they going to fight for, the ability to see baseball on television? No, they're fighting because they believe in God and family and country. But, of course, when you destroy the God, why, you destroy the foundation of the family. And you certainly destroy the foundation of the country. So we're living almost like strangers in a strange new civilization. They've destroyed the America that I grew up in. So what are we going to do?
Well, that's a difficult issue. I did write the book because I wanted people to exactly understand what you just said, which is I mean, I know it's hard, and I do say many times in the book, I'm aware of how difficult it will be to really accept that we are now strangers in an alien land. I compare it to being like the early Christians in the Roman Empire. We have to think of ourselves as the outsiders. It's a shame, but, okay, well, you know, we have to just get real, accept reality. Well, there's a great example, and I reference it a couple of times. I have actually two chapters in the book about Islam. And I say in chapter 9, I started with these words, "One of the more remarkable features of the new civ is the fact that Islam has attained a sort of protected status in recent years. We have forgotten what the West always knew, that the religion of Muhammad is Western civilization's mortal enemy." If you look at the media and the average individual's interpretation or just sort of reflex action when they think about Islam, they want to believe this is a harmless religion. But the West never, never had any illusions about the benign nature of Islam. It's a deadly, lethal enemy. Well, all of these debates regarding the wars that we're currently fighting and the wars we will soon be fighting, seemingly in perpetuity, they all depend on us accepting the Muslim worldview. To me, and I go into some detail trying to explain it, and I have an appendix giving an outline of what Islam is and referring to books, you know, giving summaries of the various books that really everyone should read, like Craig Wynne's book, Prophet of Doom. This is essential reading. If you do not know what these people think, you cannot fight back. Well, our big problem is convincing our fellows, our compatriots, the people around us, that something is gravely different. Why aren't we afraid of Islam? Why do we assume? This is what I'm trying to write the book to ask these questions. Doesn't it seem strange that suddenly our deadly enemy seems hard to accept as an enemy? I mean, we feel sort of compelled to accept them as friends when they can't wait to cut our throats. I'm not talking about every Muslim. I'm talking about the core religionists, the people that believe the religion. I'm not talking about the average person who really doesn't want to kill us. I'm talking about the ones who believe the writings of the book. Okay, so that's just one example, but I give it prominent play in the book because it's so important. No one in the West in the past would have regarded Islam as benign. We were always terrified of it. They were murdering and raping and pillaging, and we fought crusades to fight them back.
And people have even forgotten about the Crusades, and they keep out with the movie recently, and the Muslims were the good guys, and the Crusaders were the bad guys.
Oh, no.
Well, what do you expect coming from Hollywood that hates Christianity? That's its major function, is to destroy Christianity. That's why they were so furious with Mel Gibson, that he dared to put out something that made the Christians look good. I mean, when it was a Jesus Christ Superstar, or the movies like that, why they praised them and lauded them and built them up. But when you come up with something like The Passion of Christ, of course, it's immediately attacked and vilified and demonized and everybody characterized as being anti-Semitic. But, of course, nothing's ever said that most of what comes out of Hollywood is frankly anti-Christian or frankly anti-Judeo-Christian. You because know, they're against everything that our religions, these two great religions, stand for.
I was in Israel this time last year. This is right after The Passion of Christ had come out, and there were no pogroms. And I was talking to a good guy, a very fine guy, and he's a Jewish guy, who was on the same tour as I am. We're walking on Yad Vashem, on the Mountain of Remembrance of the Holocaust, which is a fine place everybody should go, and it's a wonderful experience. And we were talking about The Passion of the Christ, and it's funny you bring it up, because it was just about a year ago I was there having this conversation, and he said, "Well, we remember," and I said, "I know you do." He said, "We remember the early days when, you know, pogroms were initiated in Europe, Central Europe, when they would have these passion plays, and they would murder Jews." And so it's in our blood to remember it. You know, and I said, you know, I'm aware of that. And I have sympathy for your racial and historical memory. But the question I ask today, a year later, is how come all the people that were warning that Western history would be repeated and we would have, been inspired to slaughter the Jews or whatever it was, would be, how come they haven't apologized and said, you know, you were right, Mel Gibson, you were right. This wasn't going to cause any pogroms. How come this civilization, you know, I had a very nice conversation with him, and I thought it was a very reasonable one, because he said it didn't happen, and we're all grateful for it. But why hasn't there been a concerted effort to set the record straight and everybody say, you know, we were worried about this movie, and nothing happened. We're sorry. You know, things are different. We shouldn't have been so worried, but we were. And you know, why hasn't the media talked about that? Well, of course they won't.
Well, of course, the thing is that Jewish people are being manipulated just like the Christians are being manipulated,
right,
just as the Muslims are being manipulated today. We're all being manipulated by these dark spiritual forces that hate both the Christians and the Jews.
It's true. You know, it's manipulation and propaganda, and I give some effort in the book to try and explain that propaganda is how they do it. What does it take to produce propaganda? You know, how did Orwell foresee? Well, we've talked about this before on the show, and
I'll go ahead and talk about it again, because I think it's so important that people understand that here in the United States, where we supposedly have freedom of the press, freedom of the press means if you own the press, why, you can control what's printed, and the major media is controlled by five major corporations, and you may get your book printed, and the distributor won't distribute it, or will call it back and shred the copies, and this sort of thing happens over and over again with stories that are really telling the truth, and as a result, why, our reality is created by the people who control the medium and determine what the American people believe. And that is a great tragedy, because the average American doesn't realize he's being constantly controlled by an invisible hand.
Well, you know, I quote in the beginning of chapter 4 from Jacques Ellul, who wrote a book called Propaganda. Ellul was he's a man of the left, but he was a Christian, Orthodox Christian, a fine man, and I think his books are highly, I recommend him highly. I quote, I'm not going to quote the whole thing here, but I'm going to read a couple sentences of how I begin the chapter. It says, it is a matter of reaching and encircling the whole man and all men. Propaganda tries to surround man by all possible routes in the realm of feelings as well as ideas, by playing on his will or on his needs, through his conscious and his unconscious, assailing him in both his private and his public life. I quote a few more sentences there, but this gets the idea. Propaganda is a way of encircling the mind. It's like, you know, in the old Western movies when there was a circle of wagons. This is exactly what they do. They completely get us to, and we don't know the beauty of it. And what Orwell explains so beautifully in his book 1984, the way they do it is without us noticing. We just don't even realize what they're doing to us. They are systematically giving us the inputs in our unconscious and our conscious, in our external and our internal lives. Why is it that everybody wants to talk about this girl down that disappeared? And it's a sad thing, anytime a girl disappears down in Aruba. But how many of these fictitious important stories, and they're real, they actually happen, like Lacey Peterson or whatever it is. There's always got to be one of them. Now that Michael Jackson is out of the way, they've replaced it with this girl that disappeared in Aruba. It is propaganda. It is a way of distracting us and molding our attention and telling us what is important so that we never notice what's really important. And some of the real things, and you know, I don't say anything in the book about conspiracies because it's not a book about conspiracies, but, you know, it's very difficult for us to remember the TWA 800 or Waco or Oklahoma City, because they've distracted us. They have led us. And this is how propaganda works. It's not overt. It's behind, it's behind their consciousness. That's how propaganda does it. And Orwell explained it. He predicted this is how the world would be.
And of course, if what they want, if they want to focus your attention on it, they talk about it day after day after day after day after day. There was a little something on the media yesterday about what's tragedy that's taking place in Rhodesia. It'll be on one day, and you won't see it again for a good long while. So it's out of sight, out of mind. When was the last time you saw any television documentary or mention of the war that is continuing, the brutal, bloody war that's going on in Zaire today, where 3.5 million people have been murdered there, been killed, and you just don't hear about it. And as with so many of the wars in Africa, they may be very occasionally mentioned, but it'll only be for one day. There were more people who died in the attacks in Africa on September 11, 2001, that died in the World Trade Center. Of course, the Muslims in Nigeria knew the attack was coming on the United States, whether it was going to be the 10th or the 11th or 12th. Everybody, the Muslims all knew about it, and they were waiting for that distraction to occur for them to take off and kill the Christians. And they killed about 10 or 12,000 Christians there in one of the major Nigerian cities that day, feeling that the world would be distracted by what was happening in Washington, D.C.
They were right.
They were absolutely right. We never even heard about that. You see, isn't it amazing that the Muslims in Nigeria knew the attack was coming, but oh shucks, the American intelligence agencies that spent countless billions of dollars, we had no idea what was going to happen. Isn't that amazing?
I'm astounded. Not really. No, it's a propaganda system. And the key to propaganda is not allowing the people to know that they're being propagandized. They have to accept what's being done to them. What my book has been written to do is to get us to get, you know, it's a corrective perspective, to shift our perspective and look clearly at what has happened to us so that we can do what we can to counteract it.
And I think that's really so important. And the book reads really very well. I think Patrick's done a great job. The book is How the West Was Lost, and it simply goes into the fact that we were once a Christian nation. We no longer live in a Christian nation. And of course, our leaders play lip service to it. They say what you want to hear. Why, Bill Clinton even goes to church with a Bible under his arm.
Yeah.
But does Bill Clinton really believe those things? Does Hillary really believe those things? Do the people in the current administration believe those things when they put a homosexual activist into the Pentagon who screens every major appointment and every major promotion within the military today? Or when, of course, they've rewarded the man who destroyed the career of Judge Roy Moore, rewarded William Pryor by giving him an interim appointment to the court? You see, we never talk about those things. People say, oh, we're Christians, but, you know, is it the reality? You don't judge a person by what they say. You judge them by what they do. And this is the problem that we face today. So much of our reality as perception has very little to do with reality. So anyway, Patrick, we certainly congratulate you for writing the book. It is going to be available by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And it reads a lot easier than Samuel Hunting's book, The Clash of Civilizations, and yet it covers many of the same subjects, because we are involved in a clash of civilizations, in a war for the preservation of our culture. And we're losing that war because we don't even recognize what's going on. And we think, oh, if we just have an amendment to the Constitution, that's going to help. And yet look and see what's happening to our churches today, where we spend more time reading Rick Warren's book than we do the Bible.
Well, this is a shame. Hey, Dr. Stan, one thing I want to say before we have to end the show. I have set up a website, and anybody could go to it. It's howthewestwaslost.info.
Howthewestwaslost.info. And what will
info
people...
is a new what is it, suffix. And they could go, and I have a summary of each chapter out there, so they can read where I'm driving at. So if, you know, as a test drive of the book before they... And they should definitely order it from you. Anybody could go to howthewestwaslost.info and and see what's in each chapter and see how the flow of ideas goes.
And I think people have to understand, Western civilization is under attack. It's been lost in Europe, right off Europe. There is no Christianity there to speak of at all. There are far more mosques in southern France than there are churches, and the churches are largely empty. And the same thing has happened in Great Britain, which was once the bulwark of Christendom, and now maybe 3% of the people are Christians. We have a lot of nominal Christians here in America, but we're changing the message of the church. And it's being altered very slowly and very subtly, and as is the music. And of course, people don't understand how the very structure of Christianity has been subtly changed, because they infiltrated our seminaries 50 years ago, both the Catholic and the Protestant. And well, we know it's happened to the Catholic Church, but we don't like to think as Protestants it could be happening to our church as well. But let me tell you, it is. We're just about out of time. Do you have one quick word for our listeners, Patrick?
Well, not really. I hope that people go to the website and read the summary and have a look at my ideas, because I think that they're vital to our an accurate understanding of what's going on today.
And the survival of Western civilization. God bless you. Thanks so much, Patrick.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Another of our fascinating four tape sets is entitled Concentration Camps, and it's four interviews with people talking about the move to establish concentration camps in the United States. Now, most people say that's foolish talk. We couldn't have that. And yet, if you listen to these tapes, you'll find out that those camps are a reality. They are being set up in case of civil disturbance. And of course, the authority for the establishment of the concentration camps comes from the executive orders, which were actually put through during the time of the Reagan administration. For documentation of the location and the background to the formation of these camps, their establishment, and what may very well happen, what they may be used for in the future, I suggest you call our 800 number, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for America. Our values, our future are under attack today.
Sophisticated investors are buying gold and silver today because the dollar has lost almost 50% of its value in relationship to the euro, and the price of gold and silver has increased almost 40%. If you're interested in learning more about precious metal investing, why don't you call Bo at 831-423-0177. That's 831-423-0177, or visit him at Elliott's Stamp and Coin Shop in downtown Santa Cruz at 141 South River Street in the San Lorenzo office building, which is located between Trader Joe's and the Signature Twin Movie Theater. Bo's telephone number is 831-423-0177. That's 831-423-0177. And he's located at 141 South River Street in the San Lorenzo office building. And if you mention you heard about Elliott Stamp and Coin Shop on Radio Liberty, why, you'll get a 15% discount on some non-investment items.
Are you concerned about your child's future? Well, it starts with a sound education. VHM provides for that cornerstone of your child's future with a quality education founded on biblical principles. Our school sets high academic goals while developing moral standards. From preschool through eighth grade, your child is taught by experienced and credentialed teachers in all subjects, including our dynamic music program and state-of-the-art computer classes. Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." For over 50 years, VHM Christian School has provided peace of mind to parents knowing their children are receiving an excellent education in a loving environment. VHM is located at 427 Capitola Road Extension in Santa Cruz. Won't you call us today at 475-4762? That's VHM Christian School at 475-4762. Doesn't your child deserve a chance to try VHM?
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here, and if you'd like to get Patrick's book, How the West Was Lost, you give us a call at 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927, because it goes into the philosophy that through the centuries, eventually led to Western civilization as we know it, and then to the jewel of Western civilization, which was the United States of America. Now, of course, if you want to know what's really behind our loss of America, I could suggest several books. One of them was written by James H. Billington. He is the Librarian of Congress. And his book, Fire in the Minds of Men, tells you what really happened. And, of course, most people have been learned in school that, oh, my goodness, you know, why the Enlightenment came along. And that began to change people's attitude, and that's what you're supposed to believe. But Professor Billington, who, of course, is a brilliant historian, even though he's a member of the Council on Foreign Relations, and philosophically I would disagree with many of his beliefs, he understands what's really happened, and he says this has nothing to do with the Enlightenment, it has to do with the occult. And, of course, all of the series of revolutions, beginning with the American Revolution and the French Revolutions and the Italian Revolution and eventually the revolution in Russia and the revolution in Cuba in 1959, they all really came out of this occult movement that was forming in Europe in the mid-18th century. A very important book, Fire in the Minds of Men. Of course, my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, and you can get the book or the video or the audio tape or all of them together, will give you an excellent overview of the spiritual battle in which we're engaged as well. So let me suggest these various items for you. Patrick's book, How the West Was Lost. Professor Billington's book, Fire in the Minds of Men. My book, Brotherhood of Darkness, and then we carry another very important book. I consider one of the five most important books in my library, Foundations, Their Power and Influence. It's so difficult for people to understand why it was that China went communist. Do you know why it went communist? Because the Rockefeller Foundation and the Ford Foundation and the Carnegie Foundation were financing communist front groups in the United States and trying to convince everybody that Chairman Mao was certainly an agrarian reformer, just as the media in 1958 was trying to convince us that Fidel Castro was simply an agrarian reformer, or the media today will tell you that Gorbachev is simply just such a nice guy, or that the Chinese communists are really our friends, and we've got to invest more money over there. And, of course, we're creating the best enemies that money could buy. Why would we do that? To justify, of course, a warfare state with ever more government control over our lives, to justify drafting our sons and daughters to go overseas and fight and bleed, and many will suffer and die there, because this is a state of perpetual war for perpetual peace. You need to understand the demonic forces at work within our society, and that's the subject of my May newsletter. We hope that many of you will want to get copies of that, available by calling free of charge, 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. We do hope you'll go to our website at radioliberty.com. Radioliberty.com, you can listen to our programs 5 hours a day on the Internet. You won't get much accomplished. And then if you've got more time, well, you can listen to the archive programs. We encourage you to get other people to listen. Remember, we do carry the Berkey products, and we do carry other products, and you get those. They do help Radio Liberty. We hope that many of you will give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters, because we're primarily dependent upon those who listen to our programs and realize they're going to get different information here, different information they're going to get elsewhere. And we hope many of you want to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters and help us as we try, of course, to let people understand we're involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Western civilization. So, of course, we ask you to pray for America. We ask you to pray for revival and for our leaders and ministers. But please remember to pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection, because we're on the front lines of this battle 5 days a week. And so until Monday, when we'll be back with you once again, Dr. Stan, goodbye. And may the Lord be with you.